I just went wandering through our newsroom a minute ago, and honestly, they're still talking about it out there. There's still a couple of people out in our newsroom having a conversation, and basically the crux of it is, how do you only score 10 points in a half of college basketball?
Well, you just hold the ball for 2 minutes. You know, there's no shot clock.
How do you go, what, 8 minutes and neither team scored a basket?
Well, yeah.
Right? Was it 8 minutes?
Yeah, they went 11 minutes without scoring a basket.
Yeah, it was.
They went 11 minutes without scoring a basket.
I mean, it's one of those, the result is so shocking, the numbers are so shocking, you almost do a double take when you see it, which is why, and I know you were texting him last night, joining us right now on the 72 Sold Sports Line from the Pac-12 Network, our good friend Casey Jacobson, who was not calling the game last night, but was in studio for the Pac-12 Network. He joins us here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Plus, we just like talking to Casey. He's a good guy. How you doing, sir? Good to have you back on the show.
Hey, guys, it's great to be with you. I missed you. I wish it were under better circumstances rather than talking about how in the world Arizona State could only score 10 points on their home floor and 29 total on their home floor in a real Division I basketball game is bizarre, and it's got to be frustrating for all Arizona State fans. I feel for them.
All right, before we get to that, did you mail out the Christmas cards yet? I always
No.
look forward to the Jacobson family Christmas card that I get every year.
So, Gamble, I appreciate that. Yours is coming, but we just took the photo about 4 days ago.
Okay.
There's a beautiful Southern California sunset in the background. All right, so look forward to that.
Okay, I'm looking forward to it every year. It's always my favorite Christmas card is the Jacobson family Christmas card. I get to see all the kids growing up and everything and your beautiful wife, so always look forward to that. All right, we were talking about this after the game. I texted you while you were doing the show because I almost couldn't believe what I was watching as I watched that game. I mean, just the ineptitude of the sloppy play and not being able to connect a pass, not being able to make a shot. I mean, and I said it might have set basketball back 100 years. What was going through your mind as you were watching this disaster from ASU?
Just how rare it was, okay? Like, this was not just ASU's problem in the first half. It was also Washington State's problem, right? They only scored 18.
Yeah.
It's not like they were on fire. The odds of two power conference teams playing a game in December, you know, it's not like the first game of the season. It's not like this game was in China or something. The odds of both teams going 11 minutes without scoring, like, I'm not a mathematician, but the odds have got to be astronomical for that to happen. Like, not a free throw, not a basket, not a lucky bounce, not a technical foul free throw, anything. I mean, it was just really weird. And when you're working as a broadcaster, I have never been in this position before where a game has been that low scoring for both sides that you almost don't know what to say. Like, I honestly asked my producer, what are we going to talk about with this one? Neither team can make shots. I mean, I know that Washington State has a lead, and an 8-point lead seems like an insurmountable lead in this game. But honestly, it's like, who and what do we talk about? Do we highlight the positive or do we highlight the negative? Not sure. So I tried to be as positive as I can. The game barely got better from an Arizona State perspective. It didn't get better because, you know, I mean, it just didn't. That's a home game against a decent Washington State defensive team. It was a perfect storm of, you know what, is what happened in that game.
How do you put Humpty Dumpty back together after something like this, Casey? How do you, because I mean, look, it was epically bad, historically bad. You have to go back to the 40s to find the last time ASU basketball had a point total that low. But everybody has a bad day at work, a bad day at the office. As a coach or a player, is this one easy to flush because it was so historically bad, or is there something that requires extra attention with something like this?
No, I think it's the latter. I think this is more than just one game, right? Because this is now a 5-game losing streak, okay? However, I must put this into context for all the ASU fans that are listening. I know there's a sad state of affairs. It started with that 3-quarter court shot against UC Riverside. That was brutal and just unlucky.
Yes.
By the way, UC Riverside almost beat Oregon last night in Eugene. The Ducks hung on to beat them. So it's not like they're a terrible team, but still, you should win when you're Pac-12 playing against UC Riverside. But the point is this. Arizona State has the most difficult schedule in the non-conference amongst all the Pac-12 teams, and it's not close, okay? They have now lost to San Diego State on the road, good team. Baylor, who is awesome, way better than we thought, the reigning national champs. Syracuse, who's not, you know, not super good, but
Loyola Chicago
is tough. Yeah, Loyola Chicago is a good team. They got drubbed by them. And then Washington State, I know Washington State for Arizona State fans are like, they've been the doormat of the league. This is not that team. Like, Kyle Smith has done a good job. I think, like, going into this game, I thought that Washington State has a better roster right now than Arizona State. That's what I believe. And so it wasn't a surprise in the result. It was just a surprise on how we got there. Now, to answer your original question, which is, how do you fix this? Or, you know, like, does this need extra attention? This team has lost its confidence, okay? You have to start there. This team is better than they are performing. I think everyone would agree, including Bobby Hurley. They are better shooters on this roster than they are performing. Marion Jackson was brought to Tempe to score, in particularly from three. And he is now 10 for 45 from three. That's 22%, right?
And that's bad.
And his other guys aren't much better. Luther Muhammad is 7 for 38 from three. All right, DJ Horn is the one guy that he's been consistently good in scoring. So you had those two guys who are really their confidence is gone, and then you combine that with the fact that Marcus Bagley has been hurt during this losing streak, and you have a team that can't see the forest through the trees.
Let's talk about U of A for a second here. I want to get your opinions on their unbelievable start, and just when they hired Tommy Lloyd. What was your initial thoughts on that hire, getting the Gonzaga assistant coach?
So I have to be totally honest. I think Tommy Lloyd's a good coach, but if anybody was telling you that they knew he was a home run hire, I think that's foolish. How do you know someone's going to be a great head coach when they've never been? Like, it's still possible that they could be. I'm not saying, like, I eliminated the chance that he could be great. I just said, like, for anybody to say, hey, I know that guy's going to do well, that's nonsense, because you slide over one seat. You know, he was behind Mark Few, who is awesome. So I didn't know. But I did say that he was the most qualified assistant coach that has come maybe for a big job, maybe since Roy Williams back in the day when he got the Kansas job. You know, that's how highly thought of Tommy Lloyd was. Now, the other thing is this. You know how when coaches get hired and they always talk about, yeah, we're going to play fast and loose and free, and I always, like, laugh. I'm like, every coach says that. No one says, I want to play slow. I want to control things. Like, everybody says, yeah, we're going to play faster. Well, he actually has turned this offense into a fast-paced, more efficient offense without, and here's the key, guys, without sacrificing the defensive principles that Sean Miller and his staff laid the foundation for that. Arizona was always competent on the defensive end. I thought Sean Miller held the reins a little bit too tight on offense. He didn't recruit a lot of good shooters. This Arizona team is fast and free on the offensive end. They're also a top 15 team in the country defensively, and a lot of that has to do with Christian Coloco, who's one of the better rim protectors
Very
in the
good.
Country and has really blossomed.
Yeah. Casey, good to hear your voice again. Thank you for coming on for a few, taking a little time out of your schedule. We appreciate it. I am sure we will catch up with you very soon.
Anytime, guys. Have a good one.